Hi, everyone. My name is Karim Hamdi. As was stated, I thank you all for coming to listen to me talk about how I got to my generative AI art project, Hegemony Eroding, and what I learned along the way. When I say generative AI, I mean generative models that generate text, images, videos, audio, software code, or other forms of data. These models learn the underlying patterns and structure of their training data and use them to produce new data in response to input, which often is text, or in my case, a lot of images as well. If this sounds rehearsed, this because it is, this is pretty much lifted from Wikipedia, because if it's there, that's right. So what we're talking about is, like, you know, what a lot of you probably have tried, like prompting ChatGPT, stuff like that, putting images there and see what comes out. So how did I get started with this? So I was playing around. I was at a art and tech lab called Schmiede, which I wholeheartedly recommend. It's a great place with great people. And we were at the DAVANT-GARDE Gen AI workshop, and we were playing around with Baroque paintings, trying to animate them. What you're seeing here as a method is video generation from first frame. So basically, you have an input image, and the model invents a video with that image as a first frame. In that case, I was not even adding prompts, because we had had a lot of difficulty to get the model to show a specific thing. So we wanted to get an intuition where the model on its own wants to take that image. Then we saw this. So, okay, so it was too quick. Here, that's where we started. And it gave me pause, and it was like, this might be the first brown people I've seen for hours. So what's going on there? This is how where I got interested. Because in my opinion, the models mostly give you the bias that's in the data. So if you assume the bias from the data, my assumption would always be that it's Western, mostly Western data, maybe not even only Western data, what you would call a weird data set. So weird meaning Western educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. Actually, there's research on that. There's not that much opinion. So in a sense, you know, what you're looking at when you look through those models is a bit like a new way of looking at humanity's digital footprint. And there's a bias in there, just by virtue of how we use data, but also who has access to technology. When I say bias, so I think the word bias is important to look at here. I think in common parlance, bias means something that's more or less intentional, it's maybe subconscious or conscious, but when you talk about bias in data, it might not be the case. It might be just happenstance that is due to other circumstances. As an example, let's say you have a data set of 1,000 pictures of pets, and 500 of those are dogs. Let's say something like that. This might or might not be the goodest boy in the world. If it's like, I would say in common parlance, the explanation would be something like, well, maybe the person who put the data set together had an opinion on pets and maybe unconsciously took images from sources that had more dogs than other pets, or maybe consciously said, no, we want a lot of dogs because who cares about cats and rats and everything else. Or it's just because most sane people would agree that dogs are the best pets in the world. So of course there are more pictures of dogs on the internet than of the other pets. This is mostly what, in my opinion, will influence the models that I was working with. So I don't think that there is someone in the background that actually influenced it in that sense. More to it later, why that is. So, coming back to our wonderful flower girls, so I played around more with them. And, but there should be a video, and it's there. All right. So I played around more with them, looked at other pictures that might do something, something Flower Girls. Basically, the question that I was wondering about is, what am I looking at here? So is that, let's say, where is it coming from? Is that maybe something like, where's my image? Not there. Give me a second. My image disappeared. Again, here we go. So, I'm afraid my screen is frozen. I can't seem to do anything there. Any idea what that could be? Huh? Okay, let's turn it off and on again. That has to work, right? Here we go. Anyway. Here we go. Nice. So, is this what we're? So, when I was thinking about like what in the training data might get the model to interpret, let's say, Greek nymphs as something that looks like, is it more like Bollywood maybe, or is it more something like hula girls? So it was both plausible to me because, you know, the hula girl motif is like a common prejudicial image that you would have about Hawaii. But there is a shit ton of videos coming out of Bollywood. So I went on trying to access that motif some more, and which would be like the next motif, the flower girl motif was the first. And then we had the people dancing motif, which would look something like that. And I would say, like, there's something there. It's like when you look at the body of the images, it's not. It's a bit ambiguous. You know, like you could imagine that maybe there are influences from other, from data that stems from other cultures than weird ones. But it wasn't. Let's say it wasn't. I don't know. Wasn't clear enough. Wasn't interesting enough. Like the, you know, I was still at the Schmiede, so I had 10 days to work on it. And I really tried to tease it out using mostly two methods. One is minimal prompting. So I try to do minimal prompting, meaning I craft prompts that are as short as possible and use culturally neutral language. Might be a term I made up. There might not be such a thing as cultural neutral language. What I mean by that is if I want to access parts of the latent space of a model that might have depictions from, let's say, South America, I wouldn't write, give me a man with sombrero, because it's pretty clear what comes, and sombrero is associated with certain regions of the world and certain countries. I would say maybe give me someone with a bright, big hat. Or in that case, the prompts would be something like people dancing, women dancing in brightly colored clothes or something like that. So I knew, like, I tried to have a description that would match Bollywood, but not be exclusive to. So to find a motif where you could see that most images that kind of fit this description come from that region. So again, I was not terribly happy with that, with the result. So I continued on and found my first motif that I like a lot and I then think fits the bill a lot, and it's the man in yellow jumpsuit motif. So the prompt, it's in that case video, the prompt would be something like man in yellow jumpsuit fights black clad opponents. Not really sure why they have to wear black clothes, but it did work better. And you get something that looks very much and is reminiscent of Bruce Lee. Here's actually, to date, I think the best video I have. It's Yellow Jesus by Gauguin. And the prompt, as I said, is just, man in yellow jumpsuit fighting black clad opponents, and if that's not Bruce Lee, then I don't know who is. The reason why I'm so certain that the data set, or let's say the data that influenced the latent space to show me this, I'm pretty sure it's from the region more or less around Hong Kong, because there was a phase after Bruce Lee's death. He was very influential, but his life was cut short. He made like, I think, less than 10 movies that are very famous. But he left such a hole that anyone who would vaguely look like Bruce Lee would be put in movies that were kind of like Bruce Lee movies and would have to wear his most iconic look, which is the yellow jumpsuit that you might know from Kill Bill, for example. That's also going back to Bruce Lee. There's actually a fun interview of Jackie Chan where he explains that his style of doing martial art movie was basically to not be cast as another Bruce Lee lookalike. So that's the Bruce Plantation is. Look it up on Wiki, it's fun. So that's, you know, that's what I mean, right? But also it's very niche, and I don't think, to me it's like fun, but it didn't have the same impact as seeing those nymph all of a sudden change out of, let's say, what I consider my culture into another one, which is what I was interested in. So I wasn't like really sure I'm onto something, like, because that's like, this is more, you know, anecdotal, it's gimmicky. But I think the first motif that I was really happy with is this one. It's the people squatting motif. So the prompts are something like people squatting, eating dinner, people squatting, preparing dinner, something like eating. If you just do people squatting, it's probably something from the gym. But the reason why I'm convinced that this is because of data that comes from non-weird countries, let's say, is because the squatting position is almost unknown in Europe, and it's something that people in other parts of the world do very naturally. To my knowledge, there is not a big prejudice on that in the West. So not like with the Hawaiian flower girls, where it's a picture from another culture that is very well known. And I also don't think that people have, like, they mostly don't know about it. They don't have a big opinion. With maybe one exception that my good friend Valerie Marshall tried out, and which is the data. It's called best example because my opinion is the best example. So in the middle is people preparing dinner. It's the same chat thread in ChatGPT. On the right, it's people in Adidas tracksuits preparing dinner, and on the left one, it's campers squatting preparing dinner. So, because obviously camping is an inherently white activity, so brown people are out, and Adidas tracksuits, there was actually a meme about that. People wondering why you see so many pictures of Russians squatting doing all sorts of things. What you also see is that I often talk about cracks in hegemony that you can witness, and some of the cracks are only one word wide. I put that together in a video. I showed it to people. I was very happy about the results. But after that, I got to thinking a bit. I was wondering, like, where do I want to go with this? So it's kind of interesting. I know I'm more interested in finding, like, genuine representation versus showcasing prejudice. Can I don't know, make cultural appropriation tangible to people who usually don't experience it? Can I outline parts of the latent space that are non-Western dominated? Like, I don't know, maybe assess how big they are. So on the way home, I went to my old working place and I showed it to two of my former bosses. And the younger one started like looking for an explanation, started musing, is it maybe that squatting or being close to the floor is associated with being dirty, and this is why there would be a prejudice, and this is why the models would show that. So you totally expected that was a prejudice that we brought, let's say the Western cultures bring it to the data set. Or maybe it's important to mention that we were an AI consultancy, so they were both knowledgeable about AI. That's a small detail. The other one had traveled Asia extensively, said, no, I don't think that's the case. Everybody does that, so to me it's totally plausible that there would be terabytes of imagery that would show people squatting for no reason other than people just do that everywhere but in the West. Listening to them, actually I didn't talk at all, I just listened to them going back and forth and was like, I think this is what I wanted to be about. I liked that I didn't prompt them to, like, I always prompt my friends to have discussions about a sort of thing. I'm very annoying when it's about that. But in that case, it wasn't even me. They just looked at that and started into that discussion that, to me, is a very important discussion. Like, where, when you consume media, where on the spectrum between prejudice and cultural representation is what I'm looking at. And I liked it especially because, in my opinion, in AI, it's never the one or the other. So you know, the information is in the latent space of the models, which is a statistical representation of the training data in the form of weights. So it's just a lot of numbers, let's say. And since every image infects the same weights, you can't tear it, you can't separate it anymore. Right? It's like when it's in the cake, you can't take the eggs out anymore. I like that, especially, I think it made the discussion better that you can't be sure, that it's ambiguous, that you have to think about it, but you can't, let's say, run to a place of certainty. So you have to keep that ambiguity in mind and continue thinking about it. So this is one of the things I like about Gen AI. Like in that case, the black box is it's an advantage. Well, that being said, there can be too much black box, especially in the case of image generating models. You don't know what the training data is. You don't know how they came to it. You know, there's a lot of, it's almost like an open secret that probably a lot of it is copyrighted. So this is why they're not telling you. But I'm fine with it being obtuse because of the nature of the technology, because the emergent property of AI are not clear from just looking at the numbers. I'm not okay with it being because people don't want to show what they're cooking with. The other main conclusion, I think, is that it's, to me, a very interesting way to look at societal questions by using Gen AI to look into humanity's digital footprint, but because to date there was, to my knowledge, it's like a new way to look at these, at some statistical representation of humanity's digital footprint that you can actually ask questions to. So that's what I like about that. So I continued my exploration, I did workshops, because actually last year here someone gave me the idea, which is a great idea, by the way, if you want to develop an idea. Or a concept, and I found new motives. For example, it doesn't have to be people all the time. So that's the neon signs motif. So basically, the prompt is something like narrow urban alley with neon sign after a rain shower. The rain shower I just add because I think it's more pretty. So I think what it's accessing, something maybe Hong Kong, Shibuya, where there are a lot of neon signs, is like a look that we know very well. A cool motif that I like a lot. I noticed while finding motifs that there are different stages of erosion. So let's say if you look at the the people dancing, if you remember, it's like, that's barely a scratch. You know, it's like, it could very well be from a weird data set. Let's say the flower girls, maybe that's a crack. But there are chasms, and I present to you my biggest chasm so far, which is the monk motif. Someone found. So the prompts are something like monks drinking beer, monks drinking wine. Monks having breakfast, and I would say that in the West we have a pretty clear idea what a monk is supposed to look like. I don't think we don't think it's necessary to translate it into the virtual space, because a lot of the monks are very reminiscent of Eastern monks before they are reminiscent of Western monks, and I would have assumed, this is why, you know, we went with drinking beer, drinking wine, I would assume that's inherently not something I would expect Eastern monks to do, or even that there are pictures of them doing that. But if you look, especially, let's cycle back. So like, this is kind of one of the pictures that mostly looks like Western monks, but then again, they all have shaved heads, and if you know how the shaved head of a Western monk looks like, this is not it. This is the shaved head of an Eastern monk. You see a lot of yellow, which is also, again, Western monks, and you have outright pictures like those guys with the. You have outright pictures like this. Doesn't make any sense, right? It's Eastern monks sitting in something like looks like a gaudy monastery drinking beer. My favorite image in that cycle might be this one, because the left guy and the red guy are almost the same. But to me, the right one looks more Eastern, the left one looks more Western, but it's like single pixels, probably. So obviously, what to me, obviously, it seems like the Western representation of monks is getting like drowned out by Eastern monks. I actually had a friend of mine looked at that and was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what you see in Asia. I mean, like, yeah, monks. No, I mean, Western people being Eastern monks. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe no one wants to be a monk here anymore, and all the bored people from Western countries go to Asia to be monks. And yeah, so maybe that's the thing. But I think, in my opinion, I think this is like a good example that it's a different stages of erosion. Also, this approach also showed me different aspects of hegemony. For example, here I went all in with the minimal prompting, so it's like six different models. The prompt is always eating with hand, nothing more. And as you see, so first of all, in that case, like I cherry picked them to be fair, but very few or no white people, well, those hands might be. Also interesting, I would say all in all, I think the motifs are surprisingly stable across models, but there are differences. Like for some reason, Runway wanted to show me food, not people, which is weird because most things have a bias towards people. Also, only Zora managed to show people that actually more or less look like people who know how to eat with hands. The other stuff is just weird and surprisingly messy. For example, Quen from China is even more of the opinion there's exactly one Indian girl that eats with hands. And she eats rice that looks surprisingly like a bowl, and curry that looks surprisingly like a spoon. So this is like, you see how the different, the latent space is influenced by a lot of images, and it draws statistically from images that are correlated with the prompt. But also interestingly, this is one of the only images I have of stuff that we in the West would eat with our hands. So I think what's going on here is that you have to think about, like, in the training data, when you have the images, you look also at the text associated with the image. And we don't say eat burger with hands, we just say eat burger, because we don't eat with hands, except when we do, and then it's implicit. So I would assume that this is an aspect maybe of othering, where you look at other people and say, oh yeah, those people eat with hands, even though there's like tons of stuff we eat with hands. A lot of people eat almost exclusively stuff that you eat with hands, but we don't say it. I still do think that the burger is in there somewhere, because like I had only two examples, not to make it boring. This was actually an exhibition I did at last year's Schmiede, or this year's Schmiede. So there it was like in real life. It's just what I used to plan it. This is a weird way to hold your food when you eat. And I was starting to think like, but what do you hold in your hands in a similar way? I would say this is where the burgers are. So I think there were a lot of those images. I just, cherry picked to make it more interesting, but there was a lot of images where people would eat like that and like that, and like in weird ways, always two hands, somehow centered. So that's a really nice example, in my opinion, of the aspect of cultural hegemony, where what you consider implicit influences what is shown. Another good motif that shows something similar is the wedding motif. I would say that the prompts are something like traditional wedding in red, and sometimes even traditional wedding in white. That's the two white people. No, actually not there. The two white people wear traditional wedding in white, so it's different models. That would be like those two, but also I think those two, no, this one was, I think, also traditional wedding in white. So what we try to access there is that like the color for weddings is white in the West, but in other countries this is associated with death. So I thought that if I would ask for a wedding in red, I would get people that are not from the West, so are not white, which is kind of true. But what I also found is when I looked at, because it was like, I tried a bit around with the prompts, it was like traditional wedding in red, wedding in red, and I noticed that some of those images are just traditional wedding. And I think that's, so if again we do the game where we think like, okay, where would you find the images, what would be the text? We don't have traditional weddings, we have normal weddings. So we just have weddings. The other ones have traditional weddings. So I think this is what's going on here. Maybe I should, Like I have other stuff as well. I mostly concentrate on the stuff that sells the story. There's a lot of very cool imagery that I can't interpret at that point, to be honest. So my conclusions here are, I hope I convinced you that Gen AI is a cool tool to explore humanity's digital footprint, because again, it's the first tool that we have that allows us to look at it and look at images that are somehow a statistical representation of if the training set data set is put together like I think it is, by crawling the internet for every image, a statistical representation of humanity's digital footprint. But it would be nice, and I think if we want to continue with this exploration, it would be nice to have transparency of training data and the data scraping process and the models. Because models are almost exclusively made for as products. So, you know, there were a lot of AI art talks, and a lot of people who do those talks complain that AI gets more sanitized and boring because, you know, it's like supposed to be a tool. And it's also something I see that, I don't know, I tried again with the Flower Girls, for example, Flower Girls 2025, if you want to have a quick look at that. So the character consistency has gotten better. So basically, it's just animated. It's just the girls animated that you see on the painting. But it's also a bit more boring. So by now, I have to do more heavy lifting to get it to be a bit more abstract, so more prompting. Back to my conclusions. Here we go. So I think we need research models. So imagine something like the same architecture as, Midjourney or whatever. But you would have open source scrapers, so we can have a clear discussion if those scrapers lead to biases that don't reflect humanity's digital footprint well. Open data sets that come from those, where you can actually look into the pictures. It's impossible to see all of them, but at least have a look. No guardrails, that's very important, because censorship is really annoying. And just can show you another image there of the squatting motif. You know, here we go. Where did I put it? Oh, yeah, I put it back in archive. Here you go. This one. Come on. Oh, no. Maybe it froze again. Whatever. You have sometimes, you know, when you have abstract paintings of vague nudity, you might have to edit them to even work with them. And I think if this is like the new technology with which we will reinterpret our cultures, it would be a pity if, I don't know, a lot of very good art just gets excluded for a stupid reason that you don't want to offend anybody and you're just interested in people not complaining because the only thing you're interested in is earning money. So thanks for listening. I hope I could convince you that AI, that you to go out and try if you find some cool motives. Let me know. I'm always interested in that. And I'm looking forward to your questions.
Thank you so much. If you have some questions, you can line up here as microphone one and microphone two. Or you can, via internet, you can also ask questions via the matrix environment. Do we have a question here? Yes, microphone two, please.
Hi. Thanks for like the talk. I really agree with you that like we miss a trick when we look at like image generation models and try to knock the bias out of them, because it's a really good tool for inspecting our visual culture. Mm-hmm. I sort of wish more people saw it that way. And if we see a bias in these models, we should seek to fix it in the world and then train the models again rather than fix it in the models. And I guess that's my question. Like, how much of this, like, I remember the whole black Nazi thing, like, a few years ago, I think it was an early version of DALL-E, where they really tried to address diversity in the model to make them kind of more, the output more acceptable to people.
Yeah.
Like, took it way too far, and suddenly the models were generating black Nazis. And how much of this is just an artifact of whatever, like fine-tuning or reinforcement learning they did afterwards, coming back from that?
Short answer, I don't know. I'm not that much of an expert. I think the I'm not sure that you, that anyone but the people who are actually involved in building those knows. Again, this is why I would love research models where you could look at the how those models were generated to find that out. That's actually nice that you asked that question, because one point that I want to make is, like, I would prefer, like, I see those models a bit like a mirror to humanity, to our society, and I feel like those, there's obviously, like, you get the feeling that there's some influence that comes after pushing the training data through, and to me it feels like you look at the mirror, you don't like what you see, and you start painting on the mirror, which is a bit stupid. So I'd rather have a discussion about access to technology and who's represented and who isn't, instead of trying to fix it in post. Mm. Yeah. But to your question, I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we forgot, if you want to talk more to Karim, please, you will be at the tea house afterwards, right?
Yes. I'd love to talk some more about this.
Tea house. Interesting. Yeah. Afterwards. Yeah. And first of all, there is a question from the internet.
Yes. The internet asks, I really like the point about open models and open data. What would you like to explore next with your project? For example, building research models, finding new motifs, or excavating aspects like sanitization or censorship?
Could you repeat the ors, like the bullets?
Yes. Building research models,
yeah.
Finding new motifs, excavating aspects like sanitization or censorship?
Definitely finding new models, motifs. I don't consider censorship to be an aspect. It's just annoying. It's just an annoyance. That should just go. Like, we're all grown-ups here. And I'd love to go in a research direction, but I don't think, like, I don't have any expertise in any of the relevant, like, I already feel actually not very well talking about culture in that way, because I'm pretty sure that someone who knows what they're talking about would wouldn't like my vocabulary, would have the impression that I understand certain concepts wrong. But I really would love to talk to people who would think this is an interesting way to do research from the, I don't know, anthropology, social sciences, humanities.
Thank you. One last question from microphone one, please.
Thank you for the talk. My question is, from your exploration so far, would you say that there are movements in the cracks from last year to, like, the last few days? So are there cracks closing, or let's say, let's be more specific, are the companies building this models closing this cracks of in the hegemony, or are there new cracks opening up?
Definitely the later, so there are new cracks. Well, the question is, like, I don't know if they are new, because I didn't try them before. But there are definitely some closing. I tried the squatting one. I tried to reproduce the one where I had, like, the three the campers and stuff. I got a lot of Chinese people in tracksuits, so it didn't work that well. There's another artist called Jo Tiefe. She has a workshop here as well, and she looks at the representation of beauty in AI. And she told me that she has the impression that the beauty standard is shifting from white to Eastern, like maybe Chinese. So maybe that's about access to data. I was trying to redo the marriage, like the wedding thing, just for this talk. I got a lot of people that are vaguely Eastern to me as well, way more than I did a year ago. It's constantly shifting, and it's like, this is why I don't know about the reproducibility. So I think the squatting one is pretty safe. There are some that are more stable than others, but you might have to trick some more and prompt some more. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Are there more questions in here? No. Then, thank you very much for your brilliant talk.
Thank you.
See you at the tea house.
Yes, House of Tea. Come and drink tea. Bye, thanks.